December. It's December 26th, 2023. The time is 16:07 hours Eastern Standard Time. Ward Green with you again today for our study of the Crucible Cubed, or C-Cubed, Crucible of Credible Creed, Article Chapter 3, Paragraph 2 today is our focus. And we've also got the beginning of 1 Kings, Chapter 1, namely, and Ezekiel, Chapter 3, followed by, hopefully, in order, 2 John, Chapter 3, also the letter of 2 John. And we will have our daily proverb, Little Children, as well. But the events that we're talking about here are the expulsion of the Hyksos from Egypt in 1532, BCE, roughly that date, during the time of the reign of Amos the First. And the second event is the departure of Moses from Egypt in about the same year. So the alignment of the two events is a blessing from Jehovah, which confirms that 1493 BCE is truly the date when the Exodus occurred. It's not the proof, it's the confirmation, right? Like, it's not the evidence by itself, but it does serve as confirmation, because why else would these two events be coincident? Moses being, as from our own genealogy, the chronology of Jehovah, in Midian, was Moses from 1533 to 1493 BCE. So, I mean, it's a perfect alignment, with the Hyksos being the ones who were oppressing Israel up until 1533 BCE. Then they were expelled, and then Israel left Egypt 40 years later when Moses returned. It fits rather well. We still don't understand why Moses left at the same time that the Hyksos left, and why. I mean, this, we don't understand this unless we perhaps can learn more, you know. So we do consider it more in this article. In the Blessed Genealogy, which is the name of our chronology, the dates were found in a completely independent way. That's one thing that's of great importance here to note. We didn't get these dates, 1533 and 1493, from the Egyptian chronology. We got them from the genealogy, our own chronology, independently from the Egyptian chronology. And yet the alignment with 1533 or 1532 for the Hyksos expulsion is too significant to overlook. And we arrived at our chronology by the different requirement, different from the requirements of the rising of the star Sothis during the reign of Amenhotep the First, for example, and any other requirements that we might have had for the length of the reign of Thutmose the First. But we got our dates by the different requirement that the years align for the rulers and events back to the time, or forward to the time, of King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar, or Nebuchadrezzar, as he's also called, of Babylon, when Jerusalem was destroyed by him in his 19th year of reign, which was about 586 BCE. Just note that at the time that the Crucible article was written, we didn't have 587 finalized yet, but we believed it was 586 at that time, which is only 1 year later than the 587. And the reason why we see a confirmation regarding our date for Moses, right, his departure from Egypt in the conventional dating of Amos the First, okay, is that both of the stories portray a time of oppression. Amos was the Pharaoh of Egypt. He was oppressing the Hyksos. And Moses was oppressed also because of the fact that he killed a man. And he was raised by Pharaoh himself. And we believe that he was of the family of Apophis. And the throne name of Apophis was Achenenry, as we saw in the Wild Road article. Chapter 7, paragraph 6, or 9 rather, 7-9, Achenenry is the throne name of Apophis, and that corresponds with the Greek mythological name Agenor. Achenenry and Agenor. Agenor's son was Cadmus, and Cadmus corresponds to the son of Apophis, whose name was Camudi, who was the king at the time when the Hyksos were expelled. And Cadmus, corresponding to Camudi, was said to be the person who brought language to Greece, Cadmus. So the language element, which we know was an element that the Hebrews possessed, because Moses wrote the law of Moses, right? He had a language, a written language, and he was the brother of Camudi. If he wasn't, in fact, Camudi himself, we don't even know. But there was another son of Agenor called Phoenix, and we identified Phoenix with Moses and Cadmus with Camudi in the Wild Road article. But both of these stories involve the willing departure of Semite rulers from the land of Egypt, right? The Hyksos departed once they were conquered. They willingly departed Egypt in about 1532 BCE. But Moses was a Semite ruler also, because he was of the family of Pharaoh. He was adopted by Pharaoh. Remember when the ark was put in with the reeds? I mean, so he was a ruler also, and he departed willingly because he was in fear of his life, it says in the Bible, because he killed a man. So the story of Moses is told in the Bible, and we determined in our article, Moses also, that Moses, there's an article called Moses as well, and I was reading it today to get these dates, that Moses lived, okay, which was Thursday, March 1st, 8R7. The 8R7 is from Jewish tradition that he was born on that day in the Jewish calendar, and in our chronology it's 1572 BCE, and he died on a Saturday. That's from Jewish tradition that he died on the Sabbath. And in our chronology, it's February 21st, 8R7, from the Moses article. 1452 BCE is the year of his death at the age of 120 years old. But not only that, it's only because Adar was said by tradition to have had 30 days in that year, 1452, in the year that Moses died, or finished his earthly course, let's say, right? And he didn't finish his earthly course. He still got the hope of the resurrection, but he finished his earthly course of that time. He still got the earthly resurrection to look forward to. But he died, it was said, on a Saturday, and the only way that can work is if it's the 21st of February, not the 22nd. It looks like it should be the 22nd, but if Adar had 30 days that year, it looks like then the first day of Adar was the day before conjunction of the moon, which is possible, I suppose, since we don't know exactly how the Jews decided when the day one was for each month. There's no reason why it couldn't have been this, other than the fact that it's not exactly when we think. It probably should have been closer to February 17th, Adar 1, which would be February 23rd, Adar 7. So we see that, you know, if we look at the first visibility, according to Gauchy, and according to, I checked PLSV as well to check that program to do the calculation that way, but it's just possible that we're close. It's not close if you move away from 1 year. If we're in 1452 BCE, which is when we believe Moses died, then it's close to being Saturday on 8R7. It's just very close. At the time of the Egyptian Hyksos ruler Apophis. Right. He lived during the time of that ruler, but also the ruler who succeeded Apophis, Camudi. Those were the kings of the Hyksos during whose rules Moses lived. and Camuti was the last Hyksos ruler of the Delta. This spans but the first 40 years of the life of Moses in chapter, up to the end of Camuti, up to his departure from Egypt in chapter 10. In this article, we pray we will show Moses in more detail. Apophis is believed to have ruled 1583 to 1543. That's assuming he ruled 40 years, because 1543 is determined by backwards calculating from 1532, knowing how many years Camuti ruled. So, I mean, 1583 is an approximation. It depends on how long Apophis ruled. But if that's true, then he was ruling during 1572 when Moses was born, and Camuti ruled up until Ahmose I ejected him from the country. Because Ahmose drove out the Hyksos from Egypt, there's a temptation to put him as the pharaoh of the Exodus. Some people think that wrongly, though, but they think that the Hyksos who departed Egypt, who were Semites, because they were Semites, people think they were the Jews who left Egypt in the Exodus. But that's not what this actual story is, right? It's about the Hyksos departing first. And the Bible states that a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph, and that he enslaved God's people with great oppressiveness and made them carry big burdens. This fits the Pharaoh Apophis, who is said to have usurped power from his predecessor and who altered monuments made previously to make them more suited to his own reputation, something which implies that his artisans lacked skills of the sort required to create original artwork in sculpture. Jehovah be willing, we shall consider Apophis more later. The point is that Israel had been foreign rulers in Egypt, or Hyksos, as far back as the time of Joseph. So they were like Hyksos, because they were Semites who were ruling Egypt back when Joseph was the second in command of all Egypt. But the ones who ruled in the days of Moses were new. And although what is commonly called the expulsion of the Hyksos does refer to Semitic or Asiatic rulers who were driven away by Ahmose the First, it refers more to the Exodus of 1493 BCE. A fascinating viewpoint presented here by us, that the expulsion of the Hyksos refers more to the Exodus than it does to the driving out of Camuti and his fellow Hyksos who were dominating harshly over Israel at the time in 1532 BCE. That's all for today's study. That was a long study of the Crucible article for today, but Proverbs, little children, Proverbs 8 and 6, today's proverb says, "Listen, for it is about the foremost things that I speak, and the opening of my lips is about uprightness." And we finished the book of 2 Samuel yesterday. So we've got the book of 1 Kings, which is also called in the Septuagint the third book of Kings. Now King David was old, advanced in days, and they would cover him with garments, but he would not feel warm. So his servant said to him, "Let them look for a girl, a virgin for my lord the king, and she will have to attend upon the king that she may become his nurse. And she must lie in your bosom, and my lord the king." I know why I'm slipping in my chair, because I've got my slippery pants on. And I've got to get them out from underneath me so that I can not slide. "Let them look for a girl, a virgin, for my lord the king, and she will have to attend upon the king that she may become his nurse. And she must lie in your bosom, and my lord the king will certainly feel warm." And they went looking for a beautiful girl throughout all the territory of Israel and finally found Abishag the Shunammite, and then brought her into the king. And the girl was beautiful in the extreme, and she came to be the king's nurse and kept waiting upon him, and the king himself had no intercourse with her. All the while, Adonijah the son of Haggith, no intercourse means no sexual interaction with her, or no intercourse in the sense of conjugating for the purpose of procreation or conceiving a child. So he didn't have any attempt, he made no attempt to procreate with her. All the while, Adonijah the son of Haggith was lifting himself up, saying, I myself am going to rule as king. He was the third, he wasn't the third, sorry, Absalom his brother was the third son of David, mentioned in 2 Samuel chapter 2, I believe. Let's just see. I looked it up today just to check and verify. Is it 3? 2 Samuel 3. What is it? Sons were born to David. Here it is, 2 Samuel 3. His firstborn was Amnon, who died, as we saw. His second was Kileab, by the wife of Abigail. But his third was Absalom, by the son of Maacah. So the fourth, it doesn't say, the fourth was Adonijah, the son of Haggith, right? Well, the fourth was Adonijah, the son of Haggith. Right. Let's go back to 1 Kings. Oh, we just read that. Yeah, okay, good. So, here it was. The fourth was Adonijah, the son of Haggith. Okay. Got to see it twice to confirm it in my head. So there. Adonijah, the son of Haggith, the fourth son of David, was lifting himself up, saying, I myself am going to rule as king. And he proceeded to have a chariot made for himself with horsemen and 50 men running before him. And his father, David, did not hurt his feelings at any time by saying, why is this the way you have done? And he was also very good looking in form, and his mother had borne him after Absalom. And he came to have dealings with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar, the priest. And they began offering help as followers of Adonijah, Joab and Abiathar did. As for Zadok, the priest, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan, the prophet, and Shimei, and Rei, and the mighty men that belonged to David, they did not become involved with Adonijah. Eventually, Adonijah held a sacrifice of sheep and cattle and fatlings close by the stone of Zoheleth, which is beside Enrogel. And he proceeded to invite all his brothers, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. And Nathan, the prophet, and Benaiah, and the mighty man, and Solomon, his brother, he did not invite. Nathan now said to Bathsheba, Solomon's mother, have you not heard that Adonijah the son of Haggith has become king, and our Lord David does not know of it at all? So now come, let me please solemnly counsel you and provide escape for your own soul and for the soul of your son Solomon. Go and enter into King David, and you must say to him, was it not you, my lord the king, that swore to your slave girl, saying, Solomon your son is the one that will become king after me, and he is the one that will sit upon my throne? So why has Adonijah become king? Look, while you are yet speaking there with the king, then I myself shall come in after you, and I shall certainly confirm your words. Accordingly, Bathsheba went into the king to the interior room, and the king was very old, and Abishag the Shunammite was waiting upon the king. Then Bathsheba bowed low and prostrated herself to the king, upon which the king said, what do you have to ask? At this she said to him, my lord, it was you that swore by Jehovah your God to your slave girl, Solomon your son, is the one that will become king after me, and he is the one that will sit upon my throne. And now look, Adonijah himself has become king, and now my lord the king himself does not know of it at all. So he sacrificed bulls and fatlings and sheep in great quantity and invited all the sons of the king and Abiathar the priest and Joab, the chief of the army. But Solomon your servant he has not invited. And you, my lord the king, the eyes of all Israel are upon you to tell them who is going to sit upon the throne of my lord the king after him? And it will certainly occur that as soon as my lord the king lies down with his forefathers, I myself and also my son Solomon shall certainly become offenders. And look, while she was yet speaking with the king, Nathan the prophet himself came in. At once they told the king, saying, "Here is Nathan the prophet." After that he came in before the king and prostrated himself to the king with his face to the earth. Then Nathan said, "My lord the king, did you yourself say, 'Adonijah is the one that will become king after me, and he is the one that will sit upon my throne?' For he has today gone down that he might sacrifice bulls and fatlings and sheep in great quantity, and might invite all the sons of the king and the chiefs of the army and Abiathar the priest. And there they are, eating and drinking before him, and they keep saying, 'Let Adonijah live.' But as for me, your servant, me and Zadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and Solomon your servant, he has not invited. If it is from my lord the king that this thing has been brought about, then you have not caused your servant to know who should sit upon the throne of my lord the king after him." King David now answered and said, "You men, call Bathsheba for me." David was the king at the time, but he was about to die. At that she came in before the king and stood before the king, Bathsheba, who had just been speaking to the king. And the king proceeded to swear and say, "As Jehovah is living, who redeemed my soul out of all distress, just as I have sworn to you by Jehovah the God of Israel, saying, 'Solomon your son is the one that will become king after me, and he is the one that will sit upon my throne in place of me,' that is the way I shall do this day." Then Bathsheba bowed low with her face to the earth and prostrated herself to the king and said, "Let my lord King David live to time indefinite." Immediately King David said, "You men, call for me Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada." So they came in before the king, and the king went on to say to them, "Take with you the servants of your lord, and you must make Solomon my son ride upon the she-mule that belongs to me and lead him down to Gihon. And Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet must anoint him there as king over Israel, and you must blow the horn and say, 'Let King Solomon live.' And you must come up following him, and he must come in and sit upon my throne, and he himself will be king in place of me. And him I shall have to commission to become leader over Israel and over Judah." At once Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, answered the king and said, "Amen. Thus may Jehovah, the God of my lord the king, say, 'Just as Jehovah proved to be with my lord the king, so let him prove to be with Solomon, and may he make his throne greater than the throne of my lord, King David.' And Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada and the Kerethites and the Pelethites proceeded to go down and make Solomon ride upon the she-mule of King David, and then brought him to Gihon. Zadok the priest now took the horn of oil out of the tent and anointed Solomon, and they began to blow the horn, and all the people broke out saying, 'Let King Solomon live.'" Probably a different horn was the horn they were blowing, not the horn of oil. After that, all the people came on up following him, and the people were playing on flutes and rejoicing with great joy, so that the earth was split by the noise of them. And Adonijah and all the ones invited that were with him got to hear it when they themselves had finished eating. When Joab got to hear the sound of the horn, he at once said, "What does the noise of the town in an uproar mean?" While he was yet speaking, "Why, here, Jonathan, the son of Abiathar, the priest, came, and Adonijah said, 'Come on in, for you are a valiant man, and you bring good news.' But Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, 'No, our lord King David himself has made Solomon king.' So the king sent with him Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada and the Kerethites and the Pelethites, and they made him ride upon the she-mule of the king. Then Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anointed him as king in Gihon, after which they came up from there rejoicing, and the town is in an uproar. That was the noise that you men heard. And besides, Solomon has sat down upon the throne of the kingship. And another thing, the servants of the king have come in, and they've come in to wish our Lord King David well, saying, may your God make Solomon's name more splendid than your name, and may he make his throne greater than your throne. At that, the king bowed down upon the bed. And two, this is what the king said. Blessed be Jehovah, the God of Israel, who has today given one to sit upon my throne with my own eyes seeing it. And all those invited that were with Adonijah began to tremble and rise up and go each one on his way. And Adonijah himself was afraid because of Solomon, so he rose up and went away and grabbed hold of the horns of the altar. In time, this is before the building of the temple, right? It was the tabernacle and the horns of the altar. The altar was at the tabernacle. In time, the report was made to Solomon saying, here Adonijah himself has become afraid of King Solomon, and here he has taken hold on the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon, first of all, swear to me that he will not put his servant to death by the sword. To this Solomon said, if he will become a valiant man, there will not fall a single hair of his to the earth. But if what is bad should be found in him, he will also have to die. So King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from off the altar. Then he came in and bowed down to King Solomon. After which Solomon said to him, go to your own house. That's the end of 1 Kings chapter 1. Quite a lengthy, or fairly lengthy, chapter indeed. Ezekiel chapter 3. We're running out of time, and he proceeded, but hopefully, I think 1 John 3 is a short chapter, but, and he proceeded to say to me, son of man, Ezekiel chapter 3 verse 1, little children, what you find, son of man, eat this roll and go speak to the house of Israel. It's not talking about egg rolls, it's talking about the roll of the scriptures, the roll of the book. So I opened my mouth, and he gradually made me eat this roll, and he went on to say to me, son of man, you should cause your own belly to eat, that you may fill your very intestines with this roll that I am giving you. And I began to eat it, and it came to be in my mouth like honey for sweetness. And he continued saying to me, son of man, go, enter in among the house of Israel, and you must speak with my words to them. For it is not to a people who are unintelligible in language or heavy of tongue that you are being sent to the house of Israel. Not to numerous peoples unintelligible in language or heavy in tongue, whose words you cannot hear understandingly. If it was to them that I had sent you, those very ones would listen to you. But as for the house of Israel, they will not want to listen to you, because they are not wanting to listen to me. Because all those of the house of Israel are hard-headed and hard-hearted. Look, I have made your face exactly as hard as their faces, and your forehead exactly as hard as their foreheads. Like a diamond, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. You must not be afraid of them, and you must not be struck with terror at their faces, for they are a rebellious house. And he went on to say to me, son of man, all my words that I shall speak to you, take into your heart and hear with your own ears. And go enter in among the exiled people, among the sons of your people, and you must speak to them and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord Jehovah has said, regardless of whether they hear or they refrain. And a spirit proceeded to bear me along, and I began to hear behind me the sound of a great rushing. Blessed be the glory of Jehovah from his place. And there was the sound of the wings of the living creatures that were closely touching each other, and the sound of the wheels close beside them, and the sound of a great rushing, and the spirit bore me along and proceeded to take me, so that I went bitterly in the rage of my spirit, and the hand of Jehovah upon me was strong. So I entered in among the exiled people at Tel Abib, who were dwelling by the river Kibar, and I began to dwell where they were dwelling, and I kept dwelling there for 7 days, stunned in the midst of them. And it came about at the end of 7 days that the word of Jehovah proceeded to occur to me, saying, son of man, a watchman is what I have made you to the house of Israel, and you must hear from my mouth speech, and you must warn them from me. When I say to someone wicked, you will positively die, and you do not actually warn him and speak in order to warn the wicked one from his wicked way, to preserve him alive, he being wicked, in his error, he will die. But his blood I shall ask back from your own hand. But as for you, in case you have warned someone wicked, and he does not actually turn back from his wickedness, and from his wicked way, he himself for his error will die. But as for you, you will have delivered your own soul. And when someone righteous turns back from his righteousness and actually does injustice, and I must put a stumbling block before him, he himself will die because you did not warn him. For his sin he will die, and his righteous acts that he did will not be remembered, but his blood I shall ask back from your own hand. As for you, in case you have warned someone righteous, that the righteous one should not sin, and he himself does not actually sin, he will without fail keep on living because he had been warned, and you yourself will have delivered your own soul. And the hand of Jehovah came to be upon me there, and he proceeded to say to me, Get up, go forth to the valley plain, and there I shall speak with you. So I got up and went forth to the valley plain, and look, the glory of Jehovah was standing there like the glory that I had seen by the river Kebar, and I went falling upon my face. Then Spirit entered into me and made me stand up on my feet, and he began to speak with me and say to me, Come, be shut up inside your house. And you, O son of man, look, they will certainly put cords upon you and bind you with them, so that you cannot go forth into the midst of them. And your very tongue I will make stick to the roof of your mouth, and you will certainly become mute, and you will not become to them a man administering reproof, because they are a rebellious house. And when I speak with you, I shall open your mouth, and you must say to them, This is what the Sovereign Lord Jehovah has said. Let the one hearing hear, and let the one refraining refrain, because they are a rebellious house. Right, that's the end of Ezekiel chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, see what sort of love the Father has. We don't have time for this. See what sort of love the Father has given us. We don't have time today for this chapter. So that we should be called children of God, and such we are. That is why the world does not have a knowledge of us, because it has not come to know him. Okay? We're gonna end just about here. In verse 18, little children, let us love neither in word nor with the tongue, but in deed and truth. That's all for today, though, because we're out of time, unfortunately. We don't have enough time to read the whole chapter, but we'll come back to it. Maybe we'll get it all done in the next study, along with the next chapter of the letter of 1 John. That was an intensive study today. It's December 26th, 2023 of the Common Era. The time is 1640 hours Eastern Standard Time. I'm Ward Green, and I love you very much. It's great to see you again. I hope you're having a wonderful, wonderful time at whatever you're doing right now. This is Gully, my wonderful wind-up watch, and this is Cassie, my electronic digital watch, and on my behalf, they're saying bye for now.